Bible, if you would, to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is read, has been read, for many centuries in the Jewish services. Jewish synagogue services, they read Psalm 100. And I'm going to read it quickly, but slowly. That makes sense? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Why? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations, and that includes ours. Now, in the light of that, may I add also that which is peculiar and to our nation and to no other, and that is thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. We were founded in a very, very special way by a very, very special group of people, as no other nation in the world has ever been formed. So we're very, very special. We have a special day, and we're acknowledging it by saying and recognizing thanksgiving. I want to give you the, remind you, since you probably don't get it in the evening news and in school, the first proclamation given by Governor William Bradford on the November 29th, 1623. Inasmuch as the Great Father hath given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn. This is 3 years, 1620, that they're recognizing now what they've been through. They have been through horrendous times. They've hung in there, and they're thanking God, the remnant that was left and the remnant that has increased. They're thanking God. Inasmuch as the Great Father hath given us this year an abundant harvest of Indian corn, wheat, peas, beans, squashes, and garden vegetables, and has made the forest to abound with game and the sea with fish and clams, and inasmuch as he hath spared us from pestilence and disease, and granted us freedom to worship God according to the dictates of our own conscience, now I, your magistrate, do proclaim that all the pilgrims with your wives and the little ones do gather at the meeting house on the hill between the hours of 9 and 12 in the daytime on Thursday, November 29th, in the year of our Lord 1623, and the third year since the pilgrims landed on Pilgrim Rock. There to listen to the pastor and render thanksgiving to Almighty God for all his blessings. And that was the beginning, wonderful beginning. Now, having said that, and you are very conscious of the fact that God requires thanksgiving. He requires it. He's the creator, and he created us. And all religious activity does not thank him. You people need to personally thank a personal God in a personal way. Personal. Not a system, not a philosophy, a person. And God requires that of all humans, believers and unbelievers. He requires thanksgiving to acknowledge, and that's the beginning of the way to benefit on why you were created, why you are human, why you were born. Now, having said that little bit, and to remind ourselves, so Jew, Gentile, pilgrims, believers, they look to thank God. And remember now the objectives, the objective of thanksgiving, among other things, to thank God for all of his blessings. It's a time to remember, to take inventory, to count all that has been and all that shall be. It's also you need to have a right mental grasp and understanding of the benefits that we do understand, that we do know that we have, to understand those benefits, past, present, and private, public, that which we possess, that which is promised, physical, temporal, spiritual, eternal, to have a grasp of, in some way, of these great items to consider about ourselves, about our world, about where we are. And thus, thirdly, to count your blessings, to evaluate them, to appreciate them, to evaluate them, and to count your blessings, name them, we sing, name them one by one, and see what God has done, see what God has not done, what he's done, what he's not done. Now, having said that in front of you, would you go over with me, please, to Genesis chapter 15. It said, count your blessings, name them one by one. In Genesis chapter 15, you remember Abraham came to know the Lord as his Savior. And God bore witness to him. How? By way of creation. Remember Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his handiwork. And if you pay attention to the world around you, in you, around you, the flowers, the birds, the bugs, the bees, the snow, the rain, pay attention. You're going to read, if you read that book, creation, you'll read book two about your heart. And you need, and God has provided a wonderful solution for you as a person, in the person, his own person, in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Abraham got saved. And thus you recall, maybe, in Exodus, Genesis chapter 15, picking up, please, in verse 5. And he brought him forth, God did, brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Do you believe that I am going to keep all the promises I made way back for us, Genesis 12? Do you believe I'm going to do that? Do you believe, he's paying attention to God. Now God wants to know, do you believe that all I've told you and all that I am, do you believe? And he, Abraham, believed God. He looked at the stars. Now, you and I again on a clear where there's no light, if you're in complete an area of woods or someplace where it's very dark, you see stars that you never see here. Never see them. Too much light. Abraham would have had a clear, wonderful view of the sky about him. And he would have seen the stars. And he would have, and God said, can you, remember in verse 5, tell the stars and give the number of them? Can you count the stars? And of course he couldn't count the stars. Even if you were there and you look at a sky in a very dark forest and you look up, how do you count the stars? You try to count them, and the more you look, the more you see. And what you didn't see, you look a little more, and lo and behold, there's another group of them. Count the stars. You can't count the stars. No. God said, good. Do you believe I'm going to do that? Abraham did. Thus, verse 6, and Abraham believed in the Lord, in the person of God. Not God, count not God the stars. God believed in his person. His person, he himself. And we emphasize that every little bit to remind yourself. You don't want to say, I believe God can do this, and God can open the Red Sea, and God can do... Sure he can. God can be good to you, and not so good, seemingly. You want to believe in God himself. God, the very person of God, you want to appreciate and appropriate and assimilate into your system. God, the wonderful person of God. And whether he does anything or doesn't do anything, all that he does and all that he doesn't do, we're letting God's wonderful person become preeminent, predominant in our life. God can't do without you, no matter what. Now, thus Abraham believed God, and he counted it, verse 6, counted it, computed it, reckoned it for righteousness. Abraham believed, and God said, that's right about me, right about who I am. And Abraham, his faith, as you know, Romans 4, his faith was counted for righteousness. You believe God, and God writes down righteous. You believe, and God writes down righteous. You believe God is who he is, what he can do, what he's done, especially in the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, having said that, Abraham believed God and looked, and God honored him. God honored him. Now, God the Creator. Now, or if you would, Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 33. In Jeremiah chapter 33, you'll remember, God is rehearsing the assurance for Israel's future. And Israel's future is as good as God. As God is, so was Israel's future. Now, in the light of that, verse 19, and the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, my contract, the morning and night, all the seasons, they're going to go on and on. Every generation will face them. If you can stop that, if you can stop the covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, that there should be, that there should not be day and night in their season. Verse 21. Then may also my covenant, my contract, be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign over upon his throne, and with the Levites, the priest, my ministers, my servants, as the host of heaven, the amount, the great army, the great stars of heaven, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply thy seed, the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Let's see you count the stars, the host of heaven. Let's see you count the sand. You can't. Then you're going to believe who I am. You can't count the stars, Abraham. I made them, Creator. Then honor me. You can't do it. You'll have to give me credit that I'm bigger than what you see. I'm more than what you know. Israel, I'm more than what you know, more than what you see, more than the sand of the sea, more than all the stars. All the stars. Over, please, with me. Over, if you would, to Psalm 40. Excuse me, Isaiah 40. Isaiah chapter 40. In Isaiah chapter 40, remember now God encouraging Israel to be encouraged in the light of all the nations, by the way, you might as well look at it. Over in Isaiah 40, verse 15, behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as small dust in the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn for altar, for sacrifice, nor the beasts, all the animals thereof, sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. So all, and remember now, Israel is being surrounded, and the Libyan and the Egyptian are going to become Muslim. They never were, not like that. They're going to be different. So here's the whole ball game around Israel. And what nation? What nation? Here we are trying to stay committed to them as we should. What nation is there going to be? God said, when all the nations come against you, Zechariah 12 and 14, when all the nations come against you, I'm there for you. I'm there. I'm enough, Israel. Israel is your future. It's as good as you are unable to change the day and the night, the winter, spring, and fall. You're unable to count the stars. And with all of our Hubble telescopes, and there are six, I don't know what the new number is. They guess at it, I think they have to. Six trillion stars. It's more than your paycheck. More than the stars, the sand of the sea. Israel, Isaiah 40. And in verse 25, to whom then will you liken me, said God, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes, Israel, believer, unbeliever. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host, their number, their army, the army of the stars, by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one star fails. Everything is out there. Everything is accounted for. God counts them all. God counts. It's interesting. God makes a tally of everything he has. Keeps track of everything he has. Has it all counted. All counted. Counted. Israel, look up. Look up. Verse 27. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, my judgment is passed over from my God. God doesn't care. God isn't involved. God's never going to do anything. Wrong thinking. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the heavens, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary, there is no searching of his understanding. For he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. The young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, exchange their strength, their weakness for his strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God, do you do that for the heart? Absolutely. Absolutely. Can you count the stars? Can you count the sand of the sea? Over, if you would, please, to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. In Psalm 139, you remember the subject matter, David, is there's no way on earth, in heaven, or under the earth, there is no way to get away from God. God is everywhere. God's in the bathroom, the kitchen, the basement, school. He's on top of the mountain in the valley. He's down in the sewer, as it were. Everywhere. You go 4,000 miles, the middle of the earth, God's there. God's there. It's his creation. He isn't material. Material things he made. But he's in the middle of it. He's in the thick of it. It's his creation for his honor, his glory. He tells you he weighs all the dust. All the dust. Dust. He weighs it. That means you have to know it. It means you have some capacity, and you know that dust is going all the time. And I remind you, in case you don't know that, I bet you if you would take a look in your house occasionally, you would find that which you dusted yesterday, in a little while, is all covered again. All covered again with dust. And if you have the light in the right way, you'll see it all floating around, right? And then, and you enjoy breathing because you don't realize you're breathing it all in, right? All the stuff is there. Every time you take a breath, down it goes. Down into the bacterial system down there. A big thing going on. Wow. Wow. Now, God, here we are, Psalm 139. Get the point across for us, David, all right? In verse 17, you would know. In verse 17, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them, how many thoughts that you have for me. How precious, how valuable are they that you have towards me. And you put your name there, if you're a believer or not a believer, put your name there. Because you didn't get on this earth with God giving his approval. That's how you got here. So if you want to get anywhere, you start with God and you thank God that you're a human, and then you want to get with it so you don't lose out on being a human. And you end up as a flunky. You didn't need to flunk out. You didn't need to fail in the sense of why you were born on planet Earth. You don't need to. So now, here in Psalm 139, how precious. Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. God, here I go, I day and night, and I sleep, and I get up, and I go, and you're still there, God. You're always there. That's correct. And your thoughts about David, or you, or me, or anyone, God's thoughts, especially when you look at understand God's wonderful grace, and you get saved. And all of a sudden, you become God's prized, personal, precious possession. He said so. That's pretty good, you know. Wow. Now, having said that, if verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand, and remember the sand of the sea, etc. And I remember I brought out someone, one of you young people did this for me. I didn't ask for it, but I got it. This is a jar of sand. All the granules have been counted and weighed. There's just under 9.5 million grains of sand in this. Just under 9.5 million grains of sand. Now, if you took this down to the beach, a sandy beach, if you took this to the Sahara Desert, if you took this to the Gobi Desert, if you took it to any desert, how much sand, if you dumped it out, would this sand make a difference in the beach?
No.
No. No. 9.5 million. 9,440,000. Now, I bet you want to know who did that, right? It was, he probably got an A in college for that, you know. Now, in the process, I'm going to read that verse again. 18, 39, 139, 18. If I should count them, which I can't, and that's the point. God, you made stars that with all of our ingenuity, and God, Abraham never dreamed of a Hubble telescope. He never dreamed of what? Billions, billions, not millions, billions of galaxies. He never dreamed of such thing. But God knew, and God said, you'll never, no one can count the stars. No one can count the sand in the sea. You have to believe in me. I created them. I counted them. I named them. I number them. I suggest you give me credit and honor me and believe. Abraham believed God because he said, God, anyone that could make all those stars and I can't count them, boy, he gets credit. He gets credit. Gets credit. Not astrology. God, you get credit. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, wonderful thought, Isaiah chapter 40, you know. Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, again, David, would you do it again for us? All right. And I'll read in, well, I might as well read it to get to it. In verse 1, 40, verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He bringeth me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Yeah, what did I do? I did. We were in Isaiah. Do you remember that? We transferred. And I appreciate that. I told you, and someone said, blame it on your heart. See, so when I make a mistake, I just say, oops, I didn't do it. You see? Psalm 40. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. If you don't do that, you know, I'll be going along, and you'll be somewhere, and I'll be somewhere. We'll all end two different directions. And what can I tell you? Psalm. P-S-A-L-M-S. Psalms. Psalm 40. You ready? Okay. David. And I'll go to verse 2. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, and praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And not only your working and your thoughts, which are to usward in our direction. They cannot be reckoned up, calculated, computed. They cannot be computed, reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Obviously, God, I can't number them. I can't put them together. And therefore, you would be very conscious in Isaiah, and not to do it, why not? But don't assume it. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And you will note, going directly if I can to remind, my ways, my thoughts. In verse 8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So what does that tell me about anyone's thoughts? Let's take all of your thoughts and put them together in a big pile, in a big basket. What do you know? That God's thoughts are what? Different. More than. God's ways are different, more than. You put them all together, and God is different. Therefore, I have to yield to God, because he knows all the stars. I can't count them. God tries to tell me that you're little and limited, so that I'm going to look to God and give him credit. His ways and his thoughts are higher than the heavens. God, you are not us, and we are not you. We're able to enjoy you because of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, having said that, keeping in mind, we are to be exercised and energized in the light of the word thanksgiving. Here and now, we ought to be able to be reminded this Thanksgiving season that thanksgiving is an appropriate, necessary, biblical word to exercise in your daily life, whether you like it or not, to thank God. And you thank God, and you thank God, you don't know why you're thanking God. But the angels do, more than we do, God, and we're thanking God. So at least we start on the right foot here. We're going to start with thank you, God, thank you. And thus, in the light of all my yesterdays, God, what do I know? I know before today, all the yesterdays, yesterday and every day before, from the time I was born, even from the beginning of the earth, God, all the yesterdays, what do I know about them? You went and answered everything that was wrong and everything that needed to be made right and everything that was good and everything that was not so good. You answered all of that, why it even existed, all the way to the cross. And you died, answering everything that of yesterday, all of the wrong and all that was right. You put it all together, and the only reason it existed yesterday was because you died and went to the cross. If you weren't going to do that, it wouldn't have ever been. There would have been judgment and damnation. It would have been all over. But you went to the cross and made all of that possible. So in my little life, God, in all of my yesterdays, yesterday, Tuesday, Monday, way back, all of my yesterdays, God, I want to see them in the light of the cross so that I understand. You know, in Psalm 23, you know the last statement. Surely goodness and mercy shall what? They're like hound dogs to the sheep. They're behind. You're running down the corridor of time, and they're coming up, picking the pieces up behind you. Wow. God, in the light of all my yesterdays, thank you. And in the light of all my tomorrows, God, tomorrow, I haven't got there yet. I haven't got to midnight today even yet. God, I haven't got there yet. But God, you're already there. You're already there. Your thoughts about me, about us, about humans, about history, about the UN and gas prices and food and all the traumatic things of life, troubling things, trial, test. Wow. It's all there, God. It's all there. And you're already there. And you're thinking about me. And I haven't even got to tomorrow yet. And you're already thinking about me. You already have thought about me. I haven't even got there. And what you think, God, your thoughts aren't like mine. Your thoughts are high and holy and heavenly, your thoughts are, God. And I haven't even got there yet. Wow. So I'm able to take care of the past, thank you. And I'm able to take care of tomorrow, thank you, God. I haven't got there. God, I have no idea. And I could make all the plans, and they may or may not work, but God, I'm going to trust you. So that now, having left the past and given the future to God with thanksgiving, I'm able to now comfortably thank God for the moment of time in which I live. For the moment right now, to thank God right now for all his benefits, all the things that I have received, I am receiving of God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for yesterday. I wouldn't enjoy today unless I could get rid of yesterday rightly. I'm not going to enjoy today unless I can handle the future properly. So God, I want to be able to handle right now with thanksgiving in my heart. And I want to make sure I understand the cross has taken care of all my yesterdays. And the cross and what you've done for me in your saving ability is all done for the future. All done. That's why I'm going to say thank you, God, now. Doesn't matter what I have or don't have. I just thank you. Thank you very, very much for what I have and don't have. And thus, God, we're responsible. Every human being, we said, is to appreciate a personal God in a personal way. And no one can do it for you. No one can do it for you. And if you say, well, I can't think of anything to thank him for, he hasn't, if you knew my life, if you knew my background, if you knew my whatever it is, religion, education, physical problems, mental problems, social problems, family problems, if you just knew them, well, God does. God does. And God said, I have thoughts about you more than the sand of the sea. So I suggest you give it a shot and trust me. And give me, and remember now, the gratitude is the interest we owe God, for his investment, for the investment of his son. Gratitude is the interest we owe God for the investment of his son. We just owe God for what he did. You wouldn't be here if Christ hadn't before the foundation, the Son of God, before the foundation of the world, chose to pay the price for your sin and mine, for our attitude, our thinking, how we are on earth. God chose to do that before we ever were created. We owe God. We owe God. And with us, we're going to give God thanksgiving for all my yesterdays, thank you. Because of my yesterdays. Do you know you wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't for your yesterdays? And you say, well, if I had a different path. But you wouldn't be sitting here right now hearing my mumbling. Would you? If you could change something, where would you be? Where would you be? You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be here. And God gave you the moment. It's the only moment we have to just think a little bit and exercise our mind and heart rightly to say thank you. Thank you very much, God. For whether I have a lot or a little, thank you anyway. Thank you, God, for making it possible for me to have a today, for making it possible for me to be here. God, thank you very much. Thank you for all the tomorrows, God. Thank you for them. I haven't got them yet. And I may have tonight, I may have the next day, I may have 10 years. God, only you know all those things. And God, I want what you want. God, thank you for my tomorrows. I don't know how they'll go, but God, you do. And I'm going to let you move me into your own heart and move your heart into mine so that I can be so comfortable. I know nothing and I'm sure of everything. because of you. Because of you, God. Wow. Wow. God, thank you very much for my today. Thank you for all that you've done and all that you are. God, I owe you. You hear me say it? I say it to myself in the middle of the room, the middle of the night. God, I owe you. I owe you. I can never pay you for what you do and what you don't do. I can never pay you enough. I owe you my life, the rest of my life, the end, beginning and end. I owe you, God. So do you. You just have to get there where you appreciate your indebtedness to God. And you enjoy it. You enjoy being a debtor to God's grace, to God's goodness, God's mercy. And you enjoy being, I owe you, God. And I'm going to show it to you, God. I'm going to do it. That's the reason I'm alive. God, I owe you. What do you think? Perhaps you have. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to sing a hymn, too. We're going to have a word of prayer. And then we're going to sing a hymn, being a different.